From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Politics is a grind, whether you're the president or chief dog catcher. And in middle-sized cities like Eugene, where it's basically a volunteer position, being on the council means dividing your time into three big blocks: family, your day job, and the work of City Hall. Now imagine trying to balance all that for a couple of decades. Today on the show, you'll hear from Alan Zelenka, who's been on the Eugene City Council for the past few decades and recently announced that he's stepping away. We talk about his legacy, the ups and downs of elected office, and how right now, the divisiveness and outright anger amongst the electorate and even those in power is like nothing he's ever seen before. That's next on Oregon on the Record. Alan Zelenka has been making laws for the city of Eugene for quite some time. He's helped the city navigate through COVID, racial protests, massive budget issues, and a whole host of other problems. He's calling it quits after a long time of service, and we talk about the challenges and the increasing challenging times we're in this era of political polarization. Alan Zelenka, Eugene City Council member, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You recently made an announcement that you're stepping away and not seeking your sixth term. But I want to start with this. You know, you've been a long-serving member on the council. What are you most proud of in your years of service?
Yeah, you know, when I first started in 2007, my goal was to make a positive impact on Eugene. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been pretty successful at doing that.
Okay.
And, you know, my goal was to create the right policies so that they could be implemented by staff. And I think I've been an advocate in three main areas. One, for people, human services, and human rights. Two, the environment and climate. And three, making it a better city, a better community, a better neighborhood. And embedded in that are some things that I think I'm most proud of. On the people, human services, and human rights, paid sick leave was a thing that I did with Mayor Piercy and Councilor Syrett. That was a big deal, and it ended up becoming the model for state law, which was very cool. Homelessness services, I was the one who helped. I put together the motions for the First Opportunity Village and for the safe campsites. And then on climate and environment, I was the author of the climate recovery ordinance and having the Capital Improvement Program, CIP, and the Transportation System Plan, the TSP, may be consistent with the CRO, and worked on getting the CAP 2.0 in place with both Mayor Piercy and Mayor Venice, and also authored the plastic bag ban. And then on making the community better and the city better, along with Councilor Bettman, I helped structure the way that we do our road bonds, the structure that we do and the way that, and it passed overwhelmingly because I think the way that we put it forward, that we had an audit that we said we had a list of projects we were going to do and we did the list and all of the different parts of that made that very successful. And I think we're on our fourth one.
Yeah.
So it's been very successful in the 70%+.
Yeah.
People thought, oh, that's never going to happen.
For people who don't study the council or even go to meetings, what are some of the biggest challenges as a council person that you face? Big obstacles, you know, that both sort of systemic to just the job, but then historically, what are some of the biggest obstacles you've had to overcome?
Yeah, there's two parts to that, I think.
Sure.
The first part's just kind of is true for every place. It's true at my work. It's true for organizations, work, great businesses. It's trying to get a bunch of people to go that way, right?
Sure.
Getting a whole bunch of people to go in the same direction is very challenging, especially when they're smart, articulate people and they have a lot of different points of view and a lot of things to consider. So being able to wrangle the people enough to be able to go that way on a particular policy is one of the hardest things to do. And long time ago, I learned if you have to have it be 100% of what you wanted, you're probably not going to be successful. But if you give and take a little bit and you compromise and you get 85, 90%, man, that's great. And you can move that policy forward, and you can move that idea forward, or that action, or that whatever you're doing in life. But you have to do that with other people.
Yeah.
And so that's the first part. And then what was the second
part? The second part was specific challenges you had to overcome. I don't know if it's COVID or whatever.
Yeah, in doing that, where you get, where you try to get people to go that way, right? Mm-hmm. There were several times where it was very daunting. I mean, mm-hmm. paid sick leave was one. Instantly, a bunch of people came out and said, "Oh, this will bankrupt me," and that, of course, didn't happen. But there's all these obstacles of opposition that you need to overcome. And you can do it, you know, if you're in sales, you know, people do an objection, you overcome the objection, then you do it, then, mm-hmm. then they say another thing, and you overcome that. And then when you're done with all the objections, they say, "Okay, I'll sign." It's the same thing on council, where you have to keep working it, keep working it. It's hard to do. It takes a lot of hours. People often ask me, like, how many hours does it take to do the council? I go, well, it's a minimum like 10, you know, just to read the packets and show up to the meetings and the committees that you're on. But if you want to accomplish something, it takes a lot more effort to do that. It could be 40 hours a week for a sustained period of time to be able to accomplish things like that.
Yeah.
So being able to pull people together and to accomplish it, then there's been frustrating things, you know, like we know what works for homelessness. For instance, we know that we need more campsites. We know that we need to keep them limited. We need them structured. And that was the whole point behind Opportunity Village and the campsites. But getting them is hard. Mm. There's a lot of misinformation about what happens around them. They end up actually being an improvement to a community. People, when they've been put in, they go do litter patrol and they do other things, and there's more eyes on the neighborhood, and it actually ends up being better. And statistically, we actually showed once that the crime around around those sites is lower than around the periphery of that.
Yeah.
But getting those messages across in an environment is so cluttered with messaging and so many different channels, and trying to get all that information across is very, very difficult. You know, just understanding how the budget works, you know, takes years.
Why step away now?
Why now? Well, been 20 years. And before that, I was on the budget committee for 10. So
sure.
It's been 30 years. So, and that's a pretty good time frame for me. And, you know, when I first started, right after I started, we elected President Obama. And there was this air about the way things were happening in government, that government could be for positive change. We could create action for positive change. And that sustained for quite a long time through the Obama years. But now it's quite different. I think we're divisive. People are pitting neighbor against neighbor, and people are disillusioned and angry. And the Trump and the Republicans, for instance, with their very regressive and brutal and racist policies, some of them, like the cruel budget cuts on food stamps, SNAP, and Medicaid, those are just cruel. It's just an epitome of their war on people, but also their war on the environment and the war on climate. And all of that's changed since I started. And it makes an environment much more difficult for government to do positive change, especially when the opinions about institutions is pretty low. But in fact, Eugene government makes a huge impact on people's lives every single day in a very, very positive way. And nobody ever really thinks of that. They think of the things where I struggled to battle City Hall, or something's wrong with something in the public works. But you know, you wake up every day, the electricity was there, that's government. If the toilet and the sink work, that's government. You get to work on the roads, that's government. All of that stuff works really well in Eugene, and I think that's been a really positive thing. But it's harder to get things done now because of that, the body politic, but also because of the financial crunch we're going to see us in. The next few years are going to be budget cuts. Not that we've had a bunch of really flush budgets. 16 of the last 19 budgets that I've been involved with have all been budget cut budgets, We have fewer people in the city today working per 1,000 FTE than we did 18 years ago.
Wow.
And we're spending less per 1,000 person as well. So we've been doing more with less and doing it really well. I mean, once former city manager Sarah Maderi said, you know what? We had the same staff, but we added the entire city of Springfield into Eugene over the last 18 years. And we still provide all the services, the recreational services, library services, and public works, and all those things.
Yeah. Let me reintroduce you to the audience, speaking with Eugene City Council member Alan Zelenka. So I could hear in my mind's eye or mind's ear supporters of yours saying, but then Alan, stay. You talked about these challenges. Why not stay and try and affect the change which you've been able to do over your career?
Yeah, that's a good question. I struggled with that too, which is why I didn't decide until the last minute, because there is still a lot to do. There's several things that are still on the agenda. I'll be here for the rest of the year.
Sure.
But I really just couldn't see myself doing this another 4 years. And there's other things I want to do and accomplish. I want to spend more time with my wife and my dog, mm-hmm. and do some of my hobbies and work on my house. And actually, instead of reading council packets, I'd really like to read a book.
There's some good ones out there.
Yeah, there's some great ones. Yeah. I'm reading one right now about Bill Bryson, about the summer of 1927,
okay.
which is 100 years ago. It's really fascinating to look at a book talking about 100 years ago. Not that different, but it was really a strange time, too.
Well, and I'll even use that as a bit of a jumping off point, historic situations, talking about 100 years ago. But, you know, 30 years ago, talk about the change you've seen. You talked about some of the attitudinal changes that are happening, but how has the council changed since you first got into office? How has Eugene changed?
Yeah. Council, I think right now in the last several years has been very collegial, and we kind of operate in a space of you can disagree, but don't be disagreeable. But I can disagree with some of the councilors who are on the opposite side of the political spectrum from me, and we can still come to a conclusion, and we can still have a very vigorous debate. And in the end, we come up with a decision because we have to, or we want to. So the council hasn't changed that much. It might even be a little better than it was a long time ago. In the city, it's grown a lot. Hmm. I mean, you know, I was just looking at a list of all the restaurants that were here 15, 20 years ago that aren't here anymore, which is, you know, epidemic in the restaurant industry. What's the average 2 years for a restaurant or something like that? But it's also grown in a lot of ways. You know, the development has pushed out and it's become more dense. It's become more of a little bit more of a big city feel. Some people have commented to me, like they come here and they go, you know, it is a big city. It's got all the financial and cultural, and it's got the U of O and the sports and all that kind of stuff and the theater, and you got the Holt Center, which is amazing. And you got all these resident companies and stuff, and that's big city stuff. But this has a small town feel at the same time, which is what I think people really, really love about Eugene. Mm-hmm. You know, that's our competitive advantage. When we, you know, people come here from all over the place, not because we're this big megalopolis with tons of opportunity, but because it's a great place to live, it's a great place to raise a family. It's got great parks, it's got access to outdoors, it's got the cultural scene, the sports scene, all that stuff. It makes it really a cool place to live. When I was a consultant, I was traveling all over the West Coast for about 10 years. And when I'd fly in over Eugene, I'd see Eugene, I'd go, yeah, Eugene. And I always, you know, I took it to heart why I always came back here and stayed here, because mm-hmm. I could have gone anywhere. And I didn't. I stayed here.
Do you think, sort of tying two circles of your conversation, do you think that some of that collegial nature that you described in the council and that refreshing spirit of Eugene, do you think our national politics can someday maybe get back to at least more of a collegial nature? Do you think that the pendulum might swing back?
Yeah, you know, being kind of a student of history and looking back at things, and I was reading Founding Brothers a while back ago, which is about Jefferson and Washington and Adams and Hamilton, and how
rough and tumble the politics was, and it was, and you know, they would do incredibly slimy things and put it in the common medium was the newspapers or flyers then.
Sure.
And it was pretty tough. So I think that's been recurrent through our history. There's always been that kind of politics should be tough. It's not for the meek. Mm-hmm. But at some point, though, you want to be able to have us be able to have things work. Right now, it's super dysfunctional because we're so divided. It's neighbor versus neighbor. It's we got to win, which means you got to lose. And so we have to be able to find a way. And I don't know if there's a transformational person to do that, but I think it's the body politic. There's a lot of people that agree with me on this, that we need to be able to figure out how to talk to people without pissing them off. We need to be able to talk to people and come to a compromise. I mean, the compromise is a dirty word in Congress, it seems like right now. It's either win or lose. And so, you know, taking into account those things, you know, Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan used to have lunch once a week. I can't even imagine that right now, but that could happen again. I mean, I think when the current players get off the scene, that'll help. I mean, Trump didn't create the divisiveness that we're seeing in the country, but he sure has exacerbated for his own benefit. And I think when people are tired of that. They're really tired of it. I hear that a lot. So fatigued with that kind of battling that's going on. And I think when they get fatigued enough, we'll flip over into a more collegial compromise and let's get things done together type of mentality.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll be sooner than later.
Yeah. Let me reintroduce you to the audience, talking with Alan Zelenka from the Eugene City Council. When you look back over your career, was there a project or an idea that you couldn't get over the finish line? I don't know if it's, I'm not going to call it a regret, but there's something you look back and say, boy, I wish I could have done that.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things I proposed several years ago was the two things that were perennial problems in our community and still are, that were crying out for funding. Were the homeless crisis and also action on climate change. And they had no inherent funding sources for them. So 5 years ago, I proposed a work session to analyze and look at and probably move towards getting maybe a bond or something like that. That would be 50-50 spending on homelessness issues, solving that problem, and also climate change action to help solve that problem. And that we did do those work sessions and we talked about it, but it got waylaid by the budget issues that we have now and all that fire fee and all that kind of got set aside. But I would hope that we'd come back to those, because those are the two things from my perspective that sort of scream out for more action, and action requires funding. Yeah. for positive change in those two areas. So that's one thing that I wish I would be able to do that. But a little bit more on homelessness. What I learned about homelessness is homelessness is the symptom. The actual problems are lack of affordable housing, lack of mental health services, and lack of substance abuse services. Those three big, giant problems have baked for 40, 50 years, and they're not easily solvable. You can't go like that and solve them. They all take resources to do it. Mental health and substance abuse services, we're 50th in mental health services of all the states. We were 50th, now we're like 46th or something like that for substance abuse. But we're still at the bottom of that. And affordable housing, we struggle with that all the time. We only did 0.5% on new houses to go towards affordable housing. We could have done 1% like other communities like Bend, and probably not had any impact on the housing market, but we would have had a lot more money for affordable housing. So homelessness ends up being, because of those three problems, affordable housing, mental health services, and substance abuse, the way that translates into the way that we see it is these people end up on the streets. And they need those services to lift them up and give them a hand up to get out of that space to be able to go back into society and be productive. But it's very, very difficult. They baked for like I said, 40, 50 years. Yeah. And there's no immediate really solution to any of that. We chip away at it, but we're not, we need like WPA type projects to be able to go forward and attack them with it on a massive scale.
My last question for you is this. It's hypothetical, but I imagine it's going to happen. If a person comes up to you and says, I want to get into politics, I want to run for council, what advice would you give them?
Good question. I'll probably say, are you sure? One of the things about being a counselor is, especially if you're working, so you've got these three worlds. You've got your family, you've got work, and you've got council. And one of them's always out of whack because there's demands from all three of them, and they're all pushing and pulling each other. So you have to be able to juggle. So if you can deal with that, and you have to have support of your family to be able to do that, you have to, because of that triangle of things, and also some understanding from your employer. So being able to juggle is really important. Being able to work well with others. If you can't do that, don't go into become a city councilor, because there's no way you do any of this stuff alone. I ticked off accomplishments, but that was done by a whole bunch of people. I mean, none of that was just done by me. You have to be able to build coalitions and form a group of people that, or convince them, be persuasive. So being persuasive is another trait that successful counselors usually have too.
All right. Well, best of luck to you in your next chapter. We've been speaking with City Council Member for Eugene, Alan Zelenka. Sir, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us.
Thanks, Michael.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. We've all been frustrated by weather reports. The meteorologist or the app on our phone tells us it's going to be sunny, only for the skies to open up and pour. Tomorrow on the show, we talk with the state's climatologist about weather forecasting and the vital difference between climate and weather. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.